It's time to get way down low, below top secret.
Wait a minute.
Current events,
sports,
art, entertainment
topics,
automotive topics,
relationships.
It's all here. Now, from belowtopsecret.com, this is the BTS Mix.
And welcome to edition number 21 of the BTS Mix. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And how the hey does that that announcer speak so fast? List off all those things real quick like a ninja. It's hard to keep up with him.
He's a ninja announcer.
That's awesome.
So, Doc, how's your week been?
Oh, just fine, just fine. You know, not a whole lot going on. Just kind of coasting through. Yourself?
Yeah, it's summertime. My wife finally went down today, and they said, your new iPhone is in, the new G3. So she's been giddy as a schoolgirl all afternoon. She's in there setting her wallpapers and playing with it. And I told her I would sync it with the iTunes and get her tunes and movies and stuff on there for her. So she's excited. She's loving it. We went down to one of the big supermarts and bought the case for it. So now she doesn't have to worry about dropping it, and she's one of the... one of the new tech people. She's loving it.
That's great. Yeah, you know, I'm heavily considering getting it. It's just the you know, it's just limited to AT&T. That's the, you know, that's the getcher with it, because I like, you know, Verizon here in the city. I get reception everywhere, never have any problems. So hopefully she has good reception and good usage on the iPhone.
Well, I'm hoping so too. And you know, you can get an iPhone through Verizon. It just costs you about $300 or $400 extra, which nobody really wants to plunk down right now.
Right, right. There's that whole thing.
Yeah, the whole $300 or $400 thing. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into the BTS Mix Show. Our first thread is located in the breaking news, and it's in the Mystery Cat Takes Regular Bus to the Shops forum. I like this one. This is kind of cool, Doc.
Yeah, this is from the UK, of course, because the cats are a lot cooler in the UK than they are here in the States. And this says that the bus driver has nicknamed a white cat McCavity after it has started using the number 331 several mornings a week. The feline, which has a purple collar, gets onto the bus to gets on the busy Walsall, I think I'm pronouncing that right, to Wolverhampton bus at the same stop most mornings. Then he jumps off at the next stop about 400 meters down the road near a fish and chip shop. So a pretty smart cat there over in the UK. And of course, this is posted by Nash the Great. So, man, what a cool story, you know. And I believe somebody chimes in right after that and, you know, talks about how we kind of underestimate, I think, the intelligence of animals and what they're capable of. So that's really cool stuff.
Well, definitely smarter than me, because I had a hard time when I was in the UK finding the right route. So the cat is obviously smarter than I am. But they've actually got pictures of the cat. It's a beautiful little white cat, kind of does his own thing. My cat is named Tigger. And Tigger's very cool. He talks to me when I come home. I can talk to Tigger, and he'll meow back at me, and we'll chat. But he has to come in. He'll come in, do his thing, eat, drink. And then when he wants to be put out, he does the most annoying thing to get my attention, which is to start doing his claws on the new furniture. So he knows immediately I'm going to jump up and either throw something at him or chase him outside. So that's how he gets my attention to go outside when he wants to. So he's a sneaky, smart cat.
Yeah, you better be careful. You know, you might come home one day and he'll have your wife's iPhone picking that up and playing with it.
So if you have an interesting pet or a super intelligent marsupial or whatever you've got around the house, please post it, because we love to read stories about your animals. And of course, some of the folks on BTS and ATS have actually put their pets as their avatars, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, and even if your pets are dumb as a bag of rocks, you know, still post those stories too. Dumb pet stories are always really fun. So we'd like to hear those stories as well. So we're not segregating against the mentally impaired cats or dogs. So feel free to post all your stories.
Yeah, speaking of dumb animals, let's jump over to the next thread. And Doc, you found this one, and I was shocked. It is in the Breaking General News Forum. Woman wins $150,000 in a lawsuit over being dumped by fiance. What is up with that?
Yeah, you know, this comes from wowwowwow.com, and it says, love them and leave them, then you'd better get ready to pay them. That's the verdict of a jury in Hall County, Georgia, handed down giving Rosemarie Schell an award of $150,000 after she sued her former fiancé for canceling their wedding. Now, I understand that if you're engaged to be married and if you are committed to someone and you have agreed to marry them and you're engaged indeed, that it can be obviously devastating if that person, you know, decides to pull the stakes out, you know, right before the wedding happens. I mean, I know that if I had done that with my current wife, I wouldn't be around to sue. So I can understand, you know, that harsh mentality about it. But to sue someone for $150,000 and then to get awarded for it, two things are failing here. First of all, you've got, you know, the woman thinking that she's entitled to something because, you know, obviously, you know, she's entitled to emotional support and, you know, people going, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened to you. But I don't know if it's worth $150,000. That kind of seems a little excessive to me. Two, you have the justice system failing with a judge willing to award an amount like this over something this silly. I mean, it just kind of doesn't make sense to me.
It's going to appeals court, I can guarantee that. This was originally posted by Wolf241E, who writes, can you believe this crap? I'm sorry, I don't think I can go through this marriage bam lawsuit. Upon reading the entire article, yes, she gave up some things to make this engagement work, but she made those choices freely, for God's sake. Can't believe this lawsuit wasn't tossed as frivolous and money-mongering. The verdict just gave all the blood-sucking lawyers more clients for the future. I mean, who's a better client than a hurt, scorned woman who wants to rip the off the man she thought she was going to marry? It's called life, sweetheart. Get over it and get on with your life. $150,000, simply unbelievable, posted by Wolf241E.
And could you imagine, I mean, seeing the look on his face when he got slapped with a $150,000 fine for, you know, calling off the marriage before it happens. I mean, you know, I guess in some weird, you know, emotional sense of justice, you're thinking, yeah, man, stick it to him. The guy deserves it. He walked out. You know, that's not cool. But at the same point, you know, man, $150,000, that's a ton of money. And what you know brings up, you know, our good friend, what you know, the ATS concierge brings up a very good point. And he says, wow, you know, I wonder how much I could get from my ex-wife for the divorce. I mean, come on. This just opened up a huge can of worms here in America. Looks like she got what she was after in the relationship anyways. So it's a win-win for her. And that's a good point, man. I mean, this brings up a really interesting kind of a legal precedence, if you will. And that is, you know, what kind of line do you cross here? I mean, what does this set up for future engagements that fall apart at the very last minute? I mean, do we just go away and hand out, you know, tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars to everybody who, you know, breaks up with somebody down the road? I mean, I don't know where this could lead.
Well, and I understand the precedent to a certain extent. I think it was carried too far in this case. But say you have a guy that gives a woman, let's say, a $50,000 engagement ring. Well, if they don't go through with it, does she get to keep the ring? The answer is hell no, she doesn't. Now, if she is out some financial burden because of this, I agree, yeah, she should be compensated. But $150,000, that's almost punitive. And someone even wrote, you know, would you rather he go into the marriage doubtful and then you have to suffer through a marriage and then a divorce and everything else? No, I don't think so. I think it was way too much. But I did like what Dr. Frank Spinelli wrote. I like being gay more and more. No hormonal women.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dr. Frank Spinelli. The doctor is indeed in on that one because, you know, I think it brings up a pretty good point.
If you would like to comment on this or other topics, go to the Breaking General News Forum. Woman wins $150,000 in lawsuit over being dumped by fiancé.
And hopefully she'll take that money and go out a bunch of things and help support this economy we're in, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's your stimulus check, biatch.
Yeah, take that stimulus check. I'll take that kind of stimulus check. That sounds pretty good. And that actually conveniently brings us into our next thread, and this is in the rant section. And this is called Americans Are Addicted to Consumerism. And, man, I think people can certainly find some common ground in ranting about this. This comes in from Frank Idealist 35. He says, Americans are addicted to consumerism. I think too many Americans here in this country are addicted to what is known as consumerism. They like to buy things. That's all people think of. They like buying commercial products. Mommy, can I have a toy for my birthday? You've asked this question before, haven't you? People just ask for things. That's all they think about, what to ask for, what to buy. There's no dull second in the life of an American who's addicted to consumerism. To them, consumerism is like alcohol to alcoholics. They like it so much that they must have more. They won't ban consumerism because they can't do without it. Why? It's because people feel the need to own more things than someone else so they can appear more cool and have more of an influence on some other person. And the rant goes on for a little while, and I have to agree with this, and you know, if anybody's obviously paying attention to what's going on in the economy right now, this is the root of all of that. You know, America has become this country that's been built on debt and credit and people, you know, buying things that are way out of their reach. I mean, if you, you know, obviously you need to take a mortgage out on a house because you can't spend $200,000. No, very few people have $200,000 sitting around in the bank, and that's understandable. You know, but when you're, you know, to the point where you're putting your groceries on your credit card and you are, you know, buying your necessities with your credit card, but then you're going out and buying, you know, these big screen TVs and big new stereos and all that crap, you know, you got to wonder, and then especially you take it to the national level, and that's what the government is basically doing. Ah, put it on the card. We need a few more tanks. Put it on the card. We need, you know, this, that, or the other. Put it on the card. We need a war in Iraq. Put it on the card. And then we wonder why we find ourselves in the situation where, you know, and this is my opinion, that I think the, you know, economy has a very good chance of completely crumbling down around us because no one wants to lend us money anymore. And when you're a debtor or creditor nation, you know, you obviously can't run into having a bad credit rating on the international scale because then you run out of money. And that's just my little side rant to the rant.
As Doc steps off the podium, here comes Spencer. Okay, so now I feel convicted. You think I can get my wife to take her iPhone back? No. And, you know, I understand where you're coming from with that, Doc. I really do. But again, and I think Snowflake Obsidian kind of put this in a good light. Consumerism is the basis of our economy. If no one's buying anything, then no one is making money either. But I see where you're coming from, too, that when it's out of control, when you've got to have that next thing, when you've got to keep up with the Joneses, and it doesn't matter how far in debt you get, and then you can just write it off. It's like these home loans. Well, we made some bad loans to some bad people, and they defaulted. Well, no, it's personal financial responsibility. You have to have personal financial responsibility. You can't go out and just ring up a ton of debt. But the other thing along with that is America in the last few years, and it started years ago, through 3-4 presidents ago, when NAFTA came along, and then we said, well, you know, free trade's a good thing, man. We'll be able to do it. But then we started outsourcing our jobs and our labor force. Well, what is going to drive our economy is workers actually having jobs that they can pay for things. Things in themselves aren't necessarily evil. Money in itself is not necessarily evil. The love of it is. But if you don't have a job that you can buy anything with, and then you still have that consumerism mindset to where you've got to go, well, I've got to have it anyway, but there's no money to do it. Now, if you have jobs and you've got a good-paying job and you can afford those things, hey, nobody's begrudging you having a new flat-screen TV, okay? Knock yourself out. You want a new iMac? You know, knock yourself out. You want a new iPhone? Fine. Just don't go into super debt on that. If you've got cash, pay for it. But right now with the economy, I kind of agree with Doc. You can't go crazy with debt. You can't just sink everything in your own personal budget just because you want something. You've got to learn to say no and have some discipline in your finance.
Oh, yeah, and don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, absolutely, you're a hardworking person. You deserve to have nice things. Go out, treat yourself. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I agree with that 100%. It seems to me that you know, as the original poster mentioned, you know, you have this situation where people, it's almost an addiction at this point. They feel like they have to buy something. And, you know, I mean, how can you blame people? I mean, we're completely surrounded in an advertising environment. It's online. It's on the TV. It's on billboards. It's, you know, everywhere you go. It's labels in the supermarket. It's everywhere. And it's all about this brand awareness and how companies, you know, kind of drive that brand awareness into your brain. And, you know, the key is just to be responsible about it. I mean, if you make $300 a week, you know, chances are you shouldn't be going out and buying a $1,500 TV. That just doesn't make any sense. And you certainly shouldn't be putting it onto a credit card that you're not going to be able to repay to begin with. Because as that interest keeps going, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. And that's where, unfortunately, a lot of Americans are right now. You know, $80,000, $90,000, $150,000, $200,000 in debt. And that doesn't even count their mortgage. We're talking credit cards and cars that they couldn't afford, so they took loans out for. And, you know, this massive amount of debt. And if you make $400 a week, you will never pay that off in your lifetime, and then you have to leave that to your kids, and it's just a really vicious cycle. I'm more, you know, I'm less disappointed with people going out and living beyond their means than I am with, you know, I guess the U.S. government and even the U.K. government, and now apparently the Australian government, you know, that is constantly going out and spending money that they don't have and thinking, oh, well, we'll take care of it later. We'll take care of it later. We'll take care of it later. Well, all of a sudden, the U.S. now has a $10 trillion, you know, national debt. And, you know, the next president that takes over on the new fiscal year next year is going to have half a trillion of a budget deficit to deal with. I mean, what kind, you know, and we hear these numbers in the news. Oh, it's only $400 billion. The government will be able to pay that back real fast and work that out. You know, but the fact is, that's a ton of money, especially when we're borrowing it from China. And one day China will say, hey, United States, where's my money? And we'll say, well, we don't have any. And they'll say, oh, well, here's some bombs and here's some. Bah, 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 and then it'll be a really big mess. So,
yeah, when the Chinese come to foreclose, I don't think they're going to do it with, you know, your local sheriff. I don't think.
Yeah, so, it'll basically be the equivalent of like Dog the Bounty Hunter coming to your door, and that won't be fun.
Oh no, and that's what scares me too, because you know I read news stories, and I'm not endorsing candidates, and I will slam every candidate that I find that has a stupid fiscal policy. But let's. I'm just going to jump into the above politics area for just a second. I don't mean to step on their toes on this, but I ran across a news article where, you know, Obama wants to start this new world debt relief program, which is going to cost us $875 billion, which is like, what does that work out to? Like $1,200 per person, like your mom, you, your kids, whatever, to pay off, to make life easier in the world for countries. Well, here's the deal. Okay, charity begins at home. We have a war to pay off. We have a lot of other things we need to take care of. We haven't even paid for Katrina yet, you know, and there's other things that are hitting us. And to say, well, we're going to take all the money from the American taxpayers and give it to the world. We're just going to pay off world. No, that's stupid. And the other problem with that is, do you know what people are spending their stimulus checks on? Okay, we talked about this in a different show. Let's see, that would be cigarettes, alcohol, and porn. Okay, now if we give this to a third world country.
Well, I guess we're entering into a bit of a debate here, Spencer. This is exciting. You know, I think what Obama's plan is with this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've read on it, yeah, it's a very costly plan, and it's over, you know, I think 10 years, 10 or 15 years or something that this plan would take. So, you know, it's $20 billion a year or whatever, however it works, $40 billion a year, $80 billion a year. It's still a ton of money, whichever way you look at it, and it's still coming out of the taxpayer's pocket. Now, in a free market society, something that we've, you know, kind of created for ourselves, and this is where our prosperity comes from, so to speak, and makes us one of the most wealthy countries in the world, our economy depends on the other economies in the world around us. And if those economies are all bogged down with this debt and can't get on their feet because they owe money to other people, then their economies cannot prosper and we cannot trade with them and we cannot, you know, share that prosperity with them. So now imagine if you spent $80 billion a year so that you could create better economies in countries that are trying to, you know, they're on the up and up, but they're struggling because they're dealing with so much national debt. You know, if that freed them to the point where their imports and their exports started to go through the roof. Now, imagine if you spent that $80 billion a year and in return, you brought back $1.2 trillion a year in imports and exports and in commerce with that country. You know, to me, it sounds like an investment. And, you know, I mean, you can, I guess, swing it any which way you want to. It's, you know, I think we're all using tax money for pretty stupid things. I mean, we're bailing out, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with, by the way, who names these companies, man? Those are the dumbest names for companies I've ever heard in my entire life. But, you know, it just seems to me that it's almost an investment in the world to say, you know, we're sending out this money. And I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's so that every person, you know, say we're trying to help Romania out. And I don't think that that's a country on the plan, but Say we're trying to help Romania out, and I don't think we're just going to send each Romanian citizen, you know, a check for $1,400 and say go crazy. I think it's to help these countries get themselves out of their national debt so that they can open up their own trade, invest into more infrastructure and trade mechanisms so that, you know, these economies can start to flourish. And that's kind of where the global economy is going. It's you're starting to notice more and more of these that were once smaller economies, China, India, even Australia to a certain degree, that are really starting to make a global presence for themselves. And that can't be discounted, especially in a free market environment such as the United States is.
Well, I agree that debt is a serious problem. It really is. And that's something that Mr. Bono has really championed across the globe. So here's the deal. Instead of us spending $875 billion over 10 years, let's ask the bankers who are making the gazillions of bucks to forgive the debt of these third world countries so they can get out and they can do those things and they're not paying all this interest to these banks. How about that? I mean, that's a logical use of resources. But to say that our government is going to give these countries money and then we're not really, are we really going to like stand by and just kind of see what they do with it? Are we going to go into these countries that give us access to say, well, we're going to help rebuild your economy, so we're going to run it? Well, I don't think they're going to let us do that. I mean, let's look at Iraq. Look at how much money we pumped into Iraq and how much are we paying for gas right now? I mean, obviously, that economy is gone. And when you have leadership, let's take an example, Mexico. How much foreign aid do we pump into Mexico? And yet they go, well, we don't really want an immigration policy. We just want to send our people to you because our corrupt government doesn't want to do anything to help our citizens in this country. But we'll take your aid and we'll keep the money. But no, we want you to just have all our people. And that's not right either. To trust other governments with our money is kind of like going, hey, walking up to somebody in the 7-Eleven and go, could you hold my wallet? It makes me really leery, especially when you're having people in certain world governments that are going to be handling and be responsible for this money when we can't even get food to some of these countries that we're sending stuff. Burma, a great example of that. We send food over to Burma and supplies and relief workers, and the military goes, okay, yeah, we'll take all the food supplies and we'll let the people starve. It's a great utopian idea to think that people would do the right thing. More than likely, they may not. So, and by the way, if you want to, you know, chime off on this, if you feel I'm wrong, feel free to post something. I'm happy to talk about that. Or if you want to talk with it about Doc, you know, obviously we have some divergent opinions on this. So, hey, sound off on it. We'd love to hear something on BTS about that.
Yeah, Spencer, and you know what else we need to do? I think we should get an expert on the economy, maybe on one of our shows in the upcoming weeks here, because it's going to be, you know, I think the overriding issue well through, I think, the election and into the first of the year. And this is stuff that people need to know about and how to protect yourself, what to look out for, and, you know, what to do in these crazy, crazy times. So we'll try and set something like that up, too. But absolutely, yeah, come in, talk with us. We'd love to have you. And share your beliefs. I guess that takes us into the break, Spencer. So we're going to take a short break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
Are you ready for a close encounter of the tinfoil kind and want to do some collaborative writing with some of the most intelligent people on planet Earth? Then go to our board home at AboveTopSecret.com and find tinwiki.org in the Conspiracy Theory Discussion Forum area. TinWiki is an online encyclopedia where members can create new pages and where every page can be edited by anyone reading the page and wanting to improve it. The TinWiki Encyclopedia is for a specific type of topics only, such as conspiracy theories, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal phenomena, mythological creatures, lost civilizations, and life on other planets, just to name a few. So join thousands of other ATS members in creating an encyclopedia of AboveTopSecret.com articles that will be viewed by millions of members and guests from around the world. And if you happen to see William Onesack or Optimus, tell them Dave Rabbit sent you.
And welcome back, everybody, to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Doc Hancock.
And I'm Spencer Tracy.
And now that we've stepped on the guys at Above Politics, we are going to now step on the guys at ATS. We're walking all over your turf today, so, you know, hopefully we won't have any gang wars in the back alley behind the, you know, the ATS-BTS studio. This is a great little post here, and it's in the Jokes, Puns, and Pranks forum, and it says, "Never try to break into top secret bases." It says, "I came across this little gem while viewing a different video posted by a member here on another thread. This video serves as a reminder why you should never try and break into any place, let alone a military base." And it says, the link says, "How to get owned while breaking into top secret bases." And this comes in from One Enlightened, and it's a great little video. And what it is, it's I guess these two kids are known for their UFO pranks. They do UFO spoof videos, but it's showing them kind of outside like a barbed wire fence area, and they're kind of in between the fence and this building that they're trying to get into. And there are two kids, and one of the kids picks up a rock and throws it to try and break the glass, but the rock bounces off of the glass, bounces back and knocks his friend out. Not realizing that this has happened, he picks up another rock, throws it bounces off the glass and knocks him out. And it's a very well put together little video. It looks like a surveillance camera. It's really kind of funny.
Yeah, and originally I guess they posted this on ATS, and people went, "Well, this is just, that isn't real. It's meant to be a joke. It's meant to be funny." So enjoy it. It is posted in the Jokes, Puns, and Pranks, "Never Try to Break into a Top Secret Military Base." I can't wait to watch this one, Doc. I know that you posted it up here. I'm going to take a look at this one in just a minute.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a peek. And you can tell some of the ATS people, you know, ATS is known for kind of disseminating crap very, very quickly right as it comes on. And immediately they were posting, this is garbage. This is completely fake. You can tell by the blah, 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 by the time signature on the, you know. And people are obviously very, very analytical over there at ATS. So it got moved over to the BTS forum, and now we get to talk about it. So thanks for your good work over at ATS and throwing us a little peach right here. This is really, really fun stuff.
We're good with that. Hey, let's jump over to the general chit-chat forum, Doc, because one of our favorite people who obviously helps us with the BTS mix, awards points for our BTS screen test, is Asala, and she's posted Asala's 5 years on ATS. Yay!
Yeah, congratulations, Asala. That's great, man. I mean, you know, it's always good to see people on here for a good long while, and there are some old school people who have certainly been on since almost the beginning, and to see, you know, how far they've come, and it's really exciting. So congratulations, Asala. That's very good news, and we hope you stay another five.
Yep, and here's what she writes. "Wow, what can I say? 5 years here on the forums. It's gone by so fast, and this place feels like a second home. The people I have met over the years have inspired me, made me laugh, and made me cry. The friends I have made are the most solid people that I could wish to meet. I came here 5 years ago, closed-minded, not really caring about what was going on in the world. My interest was in paranormal, and that was it. I also was a one-finger typer 5 years ago. Now I'm more speedier. Well, you know what, Asala? You're wonderful. We love your posts. We think you're a terrific human being. And, of course, you're terrific for helping us out with the BTS mix."
Yeah, we should have her on the show for a little five-year anniversary kind of thing. That'd be kind of fun. You know, five spectacular years of Asala. We can really do it up.
That would be cool. It should include photos, too, Asala, so... You know, wear something slinky. We're good with that. So thank you for being on, and we love you, Asala.
I guess that takes us into a slightly more depressing topic, but this is in the relationships forum, and Herman asks, "Okay, I have to ask, do you ever really truly get over your first?" And I guess Herman's in a little bit of a fit here. He says, "Over the past 7 weeks, I've been getting over being dumped by the first girl I was ever in love with. My first everything. I'm doing a hell of a lot better than I was 6 weeks ago, but she's still on my mind now, and I'm still in love with her, et cetera, et cetera. I've whined enough about that already. Anyways, I've spoken to a lot of people lately, and it seems like many of them still carry scars from their first. Even people who went through this several months or even years ago seem like they're still affected. And this scares the hell out of me. People will start to explain that, yeah, they're totally over their ex. There was somebody else now and happy, and then they start talking about their first again, and then they get a little bitter, and then they start theorizing about what may have happened and such. Honestly, does anyone ever completely get over the first person they fell in love with?" And, you know, that's a good question. You know, It's the first person in your adult developmental growing up kind of life, and you have a certainly unique connection with them, a more intimate connection than probably than anything you've ever shared with anybody. And, you know, you certainly develop emotional bonds about that. And I don't think there's an easy answer to that question. I think you definitely get hung up on your first. I mean, I've grown to hate my first so much now, I think I've completely blocked her out of my head. But, you know, it certainly sticks with you. And I think the positive side of things, I think it makes you a stronger person. I think it makes you more willful and a little bit more cautious going into things. And it makes you think things through a little bit more to really develop and understand exactly what you want. Because obviously that first one didn't work out as well as it could have. And that can be for anybody's fault. But at the end of the day, you've learned something. You've taken that with you. And you're a stronger person because of it.
Yeah. And Xerox88 wrote, "It's been nearly 4 years since my first ended with it with me. It sounds horrible, but about all the girlfriends I've had, she's the only one I loved. If she ever came here and asked to start things over again, I would not even hesitate to say yes. Love is a crazy thing." You know, it's tough. And it has to do more, Doc, with what you're willing to invest in that person. And if you give your all, it's incredibly painful when it's over. And when you pour that much of your life and you open yourself up to that type of emotional intimacy, then you make yourself obviously vulnerable, and it can turn out several different ways. I mean, you can stay bitter after it's over, and it takes a long time to heal. It's just like a burn, you know, that when they say relationships are sometimes like a burn, and you've all heard the cliche, you know, time is your best friend, but it's also your worst enemy. It really does get better eventually, but there will still always be a piece that you own of them and they own of you, that little spot in your heart that's tough to give away. So hang in there. It I know it's tough, but it does get better. And if it's on the bitterness side, if there's kind of some anger, some things like that, you know, remember, there's sadness, there's grief, there's denial, then there's anger, and then there's apathy. When you go, okay, it's over, it's done, that's the past, and you'll eventually get to that step. But I hope the healing hurries, if that's any help.
Absolutely, and good luck to you, my good friend Herman, and best of luck in the future. And, you know, most importantly, I guess, enjoy the one you're with. That's the important thing. And on that lovely positive note, we're going to run into another break. We'll see you in a couple.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
Hey, welcome back to the BTS Mix Show. I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. And I think this next post, Spencer, really kind of hits close to home for the both of us. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Now, this is something, you know, this is posted in the Health and Wellness Quitting Smoking. I want to talk about Acetastic because he actually posted this up here. And I wanted to say something first about the members here on BTS. Some of the most supportive, wonderful people that I think I have ever seen post. And somebody can come by with a problem. I've got a computer problem, or I need some advice on this about a relationship. And I would say 99% of the posts are really good, have a lot of wisdom with them, or just supportive, show a lot of love. And it's great to look through this post. If you want to be cheered up, and if you're dealing with quitting smoking, and this is something I'm trying to overcome to get past that nicotine addiction, Doc, are you still dealing with yours too?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So you know, this is some hard stuff to get over, especially when you got a lot of stress in your life. And I started smoking after my first divorce, and my only divorce, which I should, you know, qualify. I haven't had like five or six of those. But there was a lot of grief, and I thought, well, I'll just pick up this pack. Maybe it'll make me feel better. Well, bad move. Don't get started smoking. Kids, if you're listening to this podcast, don't start smoking. It's not that cool. It's tough to kick. And I believe me, the morning hack I have, I would gladly trade for some, you know, fresh air and daisies and not have to deal with that every morning. So don't get started with that. But obviously, Acetastic is getting some great moral support from our users. He says, quitting smoking, getting some rather strong urges at the moment, decided to quit last night. If I can just get through today, I can make a start on tomorrow. Deep breaths. Anyone else want to struggle through with me? You can send me abusive you to use to each other or to alleviate stress or whatever. But, you know, most of the people, I got to say right now, I've just been great throughout this whole thing. So Acetastic, you got a lot of support. Even Asala posted some stuff. So if you want to support and give some kudos and help.
Absolutely. And like Spencer said, this is the great thing about this site. You know, there's a lot of support here, a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. So hop on there, give Acetastic a good pat on the back. Acetastic, we're with you. If you want to come on the show and vent and talk about it, by all means, come on. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, and any tips you can help us quit smoking, hey, we're good with that too, champ.
That is true. That is true. And let's talk about some movies. What do you say?
Okay. You know, we were looking through the movies forum, and I noticed that the X-Files did okay at the movie. Not great this last weekend. I'm hoping it picks up for them a little bit. I haven't had a chance to even see the movie. It seems like my weekends get tied up with so many other things. But there are some great trailers out there that are starting to hit the movie theaters. One of them is a remake. This one's called Death Race, the movie trailer. It's posted by Spartan King Leonidas, who actually posted the YouTube preview for it. And it stars Jason Statham. It looks like it's going to be a cool little action flick, Doc.
Yeah, you know, it's like I didn't even realize, Spencer, until you just said it, that this was a remake of a movie. Because when I saw the trailer for it, I said, this is the Twisted Metal video game for PlayStation 2. This is all this is. And I don't know if you've ever played the game, but it's these cars, these heavily armored cars that ride around with machine guns on the hood, and they blow bombs and missiles at one another, and you try and blow up the other car. That's the whole point of the game. And I saw this, and I said, oh, man, what a ripoff. Why didn't they just call it Twisted Metal? But I did not realize it was a video or a movie before this.
Actually, I think it was made in 1975, and it was, I think it had Keith Carradine in it. Let me pull up IMDb right quick, and I'll tell you. Yep, it had David Carradine in it, excuse me, Sylvester Stallone, and Martin Cove, excuse me. So, it was interesting, but it was actually called Death Race 2000 back then. And the premise was...
I guess that wouldn't... Now, would it?
Yeah, it can't... You know, it's like Death Race 2000, and how about 2010 or 2012? That would be cool. But the premise was, in the year 2000, hit-and-run driving is no longer a felony. It's a national sport, which at the time caused a lot of controversy. But if you've ever played the game, hey, how many points for that person? 10,000 points. Hey, cool. And that's where that all came from, was Death Race 2000.
Yeah, well, if you live in New York City, it's definitely the sport of choice. If you're driving around here, man, you'll get bumped around pretty good. Sometimes I wish I had a machine gun sitting on my hood. In fact, no, I don't, because I would be in jail right now. I'd be in jail for a very, very long time if I had a machine gun on my hood.
No, you need a hover car. That way you just go above the stress. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, because I've ridden in New York cabs with some of the taxi drivers. Nobody speaks English, evidently. If you drive a cab, you don't speak English. So it's interesting. Even the dispatcher doesn't speak English. So I'm sitting here going, okay, what is this guy plotting? Yeah, white guy in the back, he's an idiot. Ha ha ha! Let's get his money. I don't know. You know, I don't understand. So I'm sure that, you know, that's their great job find. But yeah, some of the scariest driving I've ever had was sitting in the back seat of a cab in New York City.
I had one American cab driver one time, and I'll be darned if he wasn't the most American named man I've ever seen. His name, and I kid you not, was Butch Harley. Butch Harley. Wow, what a testosterone-laden American name. You know, you really don't get much better than that.
I guess his middle name was Marlboro. Yeah.
Probably. Well, you know, Spencer, I saw Step Brothers this past weekend with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, which coincidentally was the answer to last week's BTS mixed screen test. And I have to take a little bit of credit for this, because that really stumped people, man. I had people going for about a week on that, and I was really proud of myself. And Cyprex finally came in, nailed it down, got it, and won 5,000 BTS points. So congratulations to Cyprex. But back to Step Brothers, very funny movie, actually. I was pleasantly surprised by it. You know, these Will Ferrell movies, I kind of take them as they come now, because I don't want to have too high of an expectation, because I go in, I don't feel they're very funny, because I kind of like that brand of humor. I like that group. I like what they do. And I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell and a very big fan of John C. Reilly. So I was very curious to see what they do with this. And I got to tell you, it's a really, really funny movie. And I was reading an interview with a director who said, you know, we wanted to make a twisted, demented version of The Parent Trap with dick jokes.
Oh, great. That explains it.
Yeah. So it was a very, very funny movie, and I highly recommend it. I give it, I'd say, 4.5 out of 5 stars on the stupid, dumb humor movies.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's definitely one of the guy movies I'll have to go see. Probably won't be a date movie for me, but yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, another movie company that I love is got to be Pixar. I mean, in my mind, Pixar can do no wrong. After I saw WALL-E and fell in love with this movie that was directed at kids, but it was great for all age. I thought it was directed at kids. I got to say that. If you haven't seen WALL-E, here's the other plug for WALL-E. Loved the movie. I've had some people say, well, I don't get it. They don't talk the first part of the movie. Go see it. Don't rely on anybody else's review. Go see the movie. And that's definitely one that I'm going to own on Blu-ray when it comes out. But jumping from that Pixar movie over to the next Pixar movie, evidently they posted the new theater previews for Up. And it looks a little strange. It starts out, if you can pull this up, by the way, in movies, first trailer from Pixar's new movie Up. It's posted by Droopies. And he's got the link to the YouTube video, but it's interesting, and it looks different. I'm kind of curious how this is all going to play out. It starts out with one balloon, then two balloons. Well, you can see for yourself. Go ahead and log on and check it out, and tell us what you think. Go ahead and post on the forum. It should be interesting to see. Again, it's in movies, first trailer for Pixar's new movie, Up.
These Pixar guys, man, you really nailed it on the head, Spencer. You know, these guys have seriously struck gold, because what they do and what they do so brilliantly is they level their plots and their movies so deeply that children love them, because they're really fun to watch. They have relatively simple, transparent storylines, but there's so much rich humor in there that is catered strictly to adults as well. So you have something that literally the whole family enjoys. And I know that that's kind of a cliche term, but at the same point in time, literally adults are having as good of a time at the theater as the kids are. And that's a brilliant kind of thing right there, you know, and they have later showings of it. So if you don't want to, you know, if you're single or if you don't have kids and you want to go see it with a bunch of adults, you can see the later shows, and it's perfect. And that's why these movies are so successful, because they're so well done and they cater, you know, to everyone in the family, which is really cool. So I still have to see WALL-E. It's docketed on my list, and I'm going to get out and see it, but I'll definitely be there for Up as well. And that looks like a lot of...
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. All right, Doc, are you ready to stump our folks again with the BTS Mix Screen Test?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling the pressure this week. You know, I was so happy with the way that last week's went, and I'm hoping that this one stumps as well, although I think people are really on their A game now, so I'm going to have to work hard on this one. And this week's BTS Mixed Screen Test goes a little something like this. This actor's career is almost prehistoric in origin. In his glory days, he played a number of different characters and has bedazzled audiences with his good looks and charisma. And every now and again, you could probably call him a professional man. Who is this actor? And I think this one, it's a little vague, so I'm going to put this one at 5,000 BTS points. I think that's a good round number.
I have no clue, so you've already stumped me for sure. But I'm sure Silent Shadow will chime in. And you know what? You've been pretty good. You've stumped Silent Shadow 2 weeks in a row here.
Yeah, well, you know, it almost becomes this. Every time I sit down to write these things, it becomes that I have this, like, mental adversary all of a sudden, and I'm thinking, how can I, if I do this and subvert this way and do it this way, but I got to change it every week because I don't want people to fall into a pattern. So hopefully this is challenging and fun, and have fun trying to crack it. We look forward to it.
You bet we do. Well, whatever you do this week, take us along with you in your iPod. Don't forget you can download us on iTunes now. And if you'd like to be part of the show, send us a U to you, because we'd love to contact you and have you be on the show, talk about BTS and the BTS Mix. We just love hearing from you. So for the BTS Mix this week, I'm Spencer Tracy.
And I'm Doc Hancock. Be good to one another.
You've been listening to the BTS Mix. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of BTS Mix, please visit the website, belowtopsecret.com. The views expressed on BTS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the above network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and continue to deny boredom by logging on to belowtopsecret.com.
He said log.
God.